as you are able. Will you please stand and face the back? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into the holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Palm Sunday Gospel Reading. And if you wish to raise your palm branches during the reading of the gospel, you may do so. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a donkey tied and a young colt with her, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away went away and found it just as they were told. And as they were untying them, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying those animals?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of them.' And they let them go. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.' So they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and Jesus sat on them. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Peace in heaven, and Hosanna in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these stones were silent, the very stones would cry out.' And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.' The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet Jesus was that they heard he had done that sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'We are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord." Please face the front as the cross passes you. And please note, stanza 3 in our opening hymn for the ladies and the girls, stanza 4 for the men and the boys. All glory, Lord, and honor. You may be seated. And I'm going to move the welcome and announcements back into the service. We welcome you for being a part of our service. But boys and girls, you've got something in your hands here. These things are nice and big, aren't they? Yeah. These are called palms. Now, I'm kind of curious. If I am just walking around one day, not today, any other day, and I come up to you and say, "I got a bunch of palm leaves from a palm tree," are you going to get excited?
Yeah.
Are you really? I'll tell you what, if I lived somewhere else, I would. Where I used to live, I certainly would. But down here, if I say, "Hey, I got some stuff from a palm tree," they're like, big deal. We see that stuff all the time. Boys and girls, today was supposed to be a really big deal in the life of Jesus. For all the people that followed Jesus, they thought today was the biggest day in the history of the universe. Today was the day Jesus rides in as a king. And oh, look at what happens after that. Something's going to happen, though. In a, Yeah, in a few minutes, that's exactly what happened. And which means that, well, today is a great day because we get to give Jesus our praise. And you guys are going to sing a couple songs for us in a minute. These things which were supposed to show Jesus coming in and becoming an everlasting king didn't happen. So what I'm going to have you boys and girls do as a recognition that today was a big day, but only because it started the week where Jesus was nailed to a cross. If you guys can you take one of these off? Just kind of pull it off like that. If you need help, you know, give it a good yank. And then here's what I want you to do. Because this is what happened to these. This is what they did. They threw them on the ground. You bring those things here and throw them on the ground, would you? Because this is what happened to the palms. And what took its place was a crown of thorns and some nails. So take one. You can keep it. But bring the rest of it here and place it on the ground. Would you please, boys and girls? Yep. Well, not the whole thing. Just one little piece. If you need a hand, we'll give it to you. Need a hand, Lee? There's one for you. Wow, you got a huge one, didn't you? There you go. Okay, and then let's go back up there, boys and girls, because you are going to sing a couple songs for us. Thank you, boys and girls. What I'll have you do here, let's pick up as much of that stuff as we can. Take it back to our seats with us because we are going to be celebrating the sacrament. And then you can very good. And you can return to your seats. And thank you for that this morning, boys and girls. We appreciate your song. Friends, welcome to our worship. And a couple of things we want to share with you. First of all, if you came up the middle of the aisle here, you may not have seen what we have started on either side. If you came up the sides, it's quite colorful. We have started the Shoes for the Souls program An email got sent out to those of you that have emails. Some of you didn't get the word yet, but we have started it now, and boy, are we off to a great start. There are 65 pairs of shoes already. Last year, for the whole year, we got 125. So we're off to a good start. Help us with that. Any size, any color, and when we have another sale coming up like the one that Kmart just had, and the folks at Kmart told me another one is coming soon. They wouldn't tell me when, but when I found out, we'll get word to you folks as well. Regarding our Holy Week services this week, unfortunately there's been some confusion, but it's as we try to get some universal times here in this church. One of the things we're trying to do, because some of our services were at 6:30 and some at 7, and sometimes when we're serving a meal and we're doing both, we have to make some changes. But when there's only an evening worship service, if it's Saturday night, obviously, that's 5 o'clock. I think we all know that. But from now on, and we started this last year, our universal time for evening worship is 6:30. So both our Maundy-Thursday service and our Good Friday evening service, 6:30. If some of you saw 7 o'clock, 6:30 will be the times when we worship from now on. Our Good Friday service will also have a 12 noon service. When you leave this morning, we are going to have the leftovers of a fellowship that we had put together for this morning. But as you do that, you'll also be able to get tickets for our Easter breakfast served by our youth. And that is between the services next week. Of course, here we have the regular schedule, 8 and 11, Holy Communion at both services, but we also have got the sunrise service out at Timber Greens. If you've never been to it before and you'd like to go to the sunrise service, we have directions to help you get out there, and it's always a very, very special service. I'm only sorry, I never get to even just watch it, let alone be a part of it, because I do love the sunrise services, but that's at 7 o'clock at Timber Greens. Then here at 8 and 11 with an Easter breakfast. So next week, no Bible class, and obviously Sunday school in the midst of that. As God's people finally also go, just remember also that at the end of the month, our last day of the month is an anniversary worship here. There will only be one service, 10 o'clock in the morning. And then there will be a banquet at Spartan Manor, and tickets will also be on sale for that banquet at Spartan Manor that will be April 30th. Again, one service only that day. So we try to get as many people understand it as we possibly can. So the Good Friday crosswalk meets at 5 o'clock. Now, of course, the walk starts at Master Mechanics downtown, and the crosswalk will walk from Master Mechanics here to the church. And that'll start at 5 o'clock at Master Mechanics. Anybody that would like to take that walk along with us. No, I can't promise we're going to have the beautiful weather we had this past Friday, but hopefully it will be at least reasonable for us. So, and then finally, let us know that you were here. Fill out those Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. Okay, we begin then our service, the invocation, as we now begin the transition into a service, the one Sunday service where we recognize the crucifixion of Jesus. Invocation responsive reading, it's on page 5 or up on the screens. And let's stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Open to me the gates of righteousness. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Blessed Lord, who always comes among your people for good. We confess to you that we are born sinful, and both by nature and choice have turned away from you. We have enthroned self-interest and pride as our kings, and they have ruled us as tyrants. We have failed to acknowledge your rightful lordship in our lives and in society. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, turn our hearts this day to worship and follow Jesus, the one true King. The King has won your freedom. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. We'll take a moment of silence, and then we pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson for the Passion of our Lord is written in the 50th chapter of Isaiah, the servant's obedience. The prophet writes, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turn not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is written in the second chapter of Philippians. Christ became obedient unto death. St. Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Long ago, in many ways and at various times, God spoke to the forefathers through the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Friends, and now we're at a point in the service where we have transitioned completely into a period of time where, as I mentioned to the children, all of a sudden the palms didn't matter. In the hymn that we are about to sing, and our Palm Sunday hymns are just wonderful, but this is a relatively recent addition to the hymns for Palm Sunday. Verse 3 even reminds us that the palms were laid down. All people did that week was probably walk on them, and they were quickly forgotten. But what was never forgotten was what our Lord gave to us. "Do not look for me. You will not ever see me. You're not supposed to see me. I'm the one in the shadows. I am the other Simon." Every time the name of Simon is mentioned, you think of the other guy. You think of the person who is so famous, who seemed to be at Jesus' every beckoning cry, "But I was there too. And yes, my name is Simon, but I was called many other things. I was called the Canaanite." Not a very nice term, but the Canaanites were the people that occupied the land that the children of Israel had to defeat and conquer. A godless people. But once they were conquered, they became people that, from time to time, would give the children of Israel trouble. They would never see them, but they would cause them trouble. "But I was also called Simon the Zealot." Oh, yes, I was full of zeal, but more to the point, I was part of the Jewish party that was called the Zealots, one of several. Again, like my name, we weren't as famous, but we tried to be. Oh, all of you have heard of the Pharisees. The Pharisees seemed to want to believe anything and everything and weren't quite sure what they believed, except that they hated Jesus. Then there was another party, the Sadducees, and they didn't seem to like much of anything. Maybe the first 5 books of the Bible. They didn't even believe in the resurrection of the dead. And the only thing they agreed with the Pharisees on was that they hated Jesus. There was a third group that supposedly was out in the desert someplace that wasn't even that many years ago. They found out about them, called the Essenes. John the Baptist may have been partially raised with those people. But I was of the party of the Zealots, and translated a slightly different way, the word zealot can also read as terrorist. That's why I said, don't look for me. You will not find me. Yes, I suppose we were trying to be revolutionaries. We had no place for the Jews. We weren't really much more tolerant with the religious leaders of that day. And we were willing to make trouble so that the everlasting reign that was rightfully belonged to us could commence. But it didn't work out the way we thought. I suppose our party was as much to blame as any for the fact that eventually, long after Jesus ascended into heaven, the Romans did come and took away our place and our nation and our temple. But that was sometime later. During the time that Jesus walked in the world, he chose me, a member of the party of the Zealots, and I thought it was a good match. After all, Jesus kept talking about coming in and becoming that king. He was supposed to be that Messiah. Surely, it was going to be us working with him to make all of that happen. But I was sure it had to be him. Here was one with power and authority, one who could act, who could feed thousands. Still a storm. I saw him escape the religious leaders who were just nothing but lackeys of the Roman government. I wanted to be in on that kingdom that I knew he was the one who could do it. And I was so sure he was going to overthrow the Romans and establish the new rule of King David. I guess I never heard that stuff about suffering and death, but I wasn't alone. Most of Jesus' disciples were hoping and thinking Jesus could be that ruler. I mean, look at what we saw. How popular Jesus was. Thousands sought him out. His name was on every lip after he raised Lazarus from the dead. Even some of these foreigners that usually, I wouldn't give them the time of day. But Greeks were attracted to him. And then on that day you know as Palm Sunday, he did exactly what we thought he should do. He came into Jerusalem on a donkey, just like the scripture said the new king, the new Messiah would do. He came into Jerusalem with the shouts of people proclaiming him the Messiah, the new king. They shouted that greeting. They were throwing their cloaks in the way. They were calling out, Hosanna. You know, at that moment, he could have been everything we wanted him to be. Right then and there, he could have called the people to rebellion and we would have hinged on his every word. We would gladly have moved against the masses. We would have taken out those corrupt religious leaders. But I guess we didn't understand. It didn't make sense how a leader with his authority, with his place as the chosen one of God, with his connection with the Father, with all the evil around us, how could he have failed to act? All he did that week was drive out some money changers out of the temple. All we did was share a Passover meal and go to the garden to pray. No speech to the crowd. No commands to act. And then we get to the garden, and he let himself be arrested. And the one person that tried to act, no, it was the other Simon, thank you. Jesus rebuked him and told him to put his sword away. I didn't understand, but I saw it. Jesus, with the chance to be ruler, chose to allow himself to be arrested, to be taken to a mock trial, to be humiliated before the Jewish council, then the Roman governor, then the Galilean king, then the crowd, then the cross. How could he make the choice to suffer and die? And what were we supposed to do? that was my crossroads moment. I was going to follow the king right into his kingdom, and now the king is dead. How am I supposed to follow a dead man? Somehow or another, we chose to stay with him. Almost all of us were there. Almost all of us stayed with him. Even though Jesus had warned us that staying would mean persecution, hatred, and even death, not just his, but ours, we joined him. We chose to follow. And now, this is your crossroads moment. Because even though you don't see him either, you have seen him. In the hands of those who have helped and loved you, you have seen his miracles in the hearts of those changed by his power. You have heard his voice in the voice of those who have brought you his word. But Jesus calls all of us to follow, to lose our lives for his sake, to take up our crosses and follow him with the promise to walk with us, to give us strength, and to receive us into his eternal kingdom. One day these words were written. In this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. After all, who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it patiently. For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. With that kind of power going for us, you may never see him, but you love him and you believe in him. With a heart that is filled with understanding, the only king we follow unto death, we follow unto life. Friends, we now share what is truly the Holy Gospel, the story of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for each of us. And these words are the 27th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him, led him away, and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called Ekeldamed, which means field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So the governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released to them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him some more, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with myrrh and gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." One of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many other women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting. This is the gospel of the Lord. We now have a special confession of our Christian faith, the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. What is the second article of the Apostles' Creed? "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent sufferings and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. We receive our offerings. If you've not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. You may be seated. A special prayer request has been made by Jackie Christopher on behalf of her sister-in-law. Susan French suffered a fall yesterday. It's a fractured arm and hip. She had surgery on that last night and remains hospitalized at Trinity Hospital today. Please note the special prayer response that's on the screen. Lord Jesus Christ, our thanks and praise are always for you. Because of the joy that was set before you, you willingly accepted the disgrace of dying on the cross for us. Grant that we, keeping our eyes fixed on you, may never grow weary nor become discouraged, nor murmur when we go through life in the midst of the sorrows and the troubles that can come with it. May we bear our own crosses willingly, as you uplift us with the assurance that as we share in your sufferings, so we also share in your resurrection to eternal life. We cry to you for help, saying, save us then, O Lord, not by any good deeds which we have done, but by your mercy. Through the new birth given in our baptism and the new life created by the Holy Spirit, keep us always from all sin and purify us, that we may always be able to serve you in glory and in praise. We cry to you for help, saying, we are your people, and you are our God. Put your will into our minds, write it into our hearts, and put your song into our spirits, that we may proclaim with joy, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. As we do that, empower your church to go into all the world seeking those who are still strangers to your salvation and hope. Prosper the witness of all of your children throughout the world, that all may know you from the least to the greatest. We cry to you for help, saying, Lord Jesus, as you took the burden of all of our sins to us, there are still those that are feeling the burdens of this life by sickness, sorrow, pain, anxiety, loneliness, the fear of death. We pray for you on behalf of Susan French, hospitalized at Trinity, and for all of those going through struggles of body, soul, heart, and mind here. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of the power that you indeed give as we find our joy in you, that we name before you in a moment of silence. Be with them as they pass through troubled waters. Give them the faith and trust which knows that you will deliver them in your wisdom and love. We cry to you for help, saying, Hosanna, crucified King. Lord our God, as you showed your mercy to us by sending your Son into the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, remind us always that we give you thanks that on Calvary you did not spare your only Son, but you sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us to trust in your promise now fulfilled, in Christ the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. We cry to you for help, saying, Hosanna, crucified King. Into your hands, O crucified King, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast love, which endures forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Friends, our service concludes in the middle of page 10, the closing prayer. Please stand as we pray together. Lord God, on this day your Son entered the holy city, Jerusalem, to fulfill your will by his death on the cross. Help us to follow him through this week and all our days, that we may be drawn closer to you by a faith full of the knowledge of the sacrifice and victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Friends, go with the suffering servant who died to make us righteous and gives us new life to rise with him to eternal life. And one final time before Easter, receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Friends, a quick note of what usually happens if you are looking at in our service folder on page 11. Now, we're not going to do this here at Lake Church today. Ordinarily, and this will take place at our worship on Thursday, at the end of the service follows an altar strip where we prepare the sanctuary for the service where we will recognize the death of Jesus on Good Friday. And obviously, we're not going to do it today because we need the sanctuary on Thursday, but since there are a lot of people that are not a part of that service, we just let you know it is a very moving thing to watch us finish a transition where we just finished the Lord's Supper. But now we're going to prepare ourselves in every way for the death of Jesus. But that's what we want you to do in this coming week. There will be no postlude. But then for those of us, again, Thursday night at 6:30, Friday noon and 6:30 for our Good Friday services. They are identical. But then we'll see you back here 1 week from today for the services of the resurrection of our Savior Jesus. Go in peace and serve the Lord.